Psalm 69 in your Bibles, Psalm 69, and we're going to look at a little text, a familiar text. And before we do, let me just say a few things by way of introduction. Throughout history, it has always been true that in trying times, in especially difficult, and in fact, really even in especially positive circumstances, whenever a situation is remarkable, those circumstances, that situation very often defines the people who are in them. Whether it's the Great Depression, World War II, that generation, the church at Jerusalem, the entering in at Canaan, you know, Joshua and Caleb are names that we give to our children today because in remarkable circumstances, they showed who they really were, as did the unknown people who vehemently oppose Joshua and Caleb, and we don't name our children after them, as far as I know. And of course, this dynamic applies to the remarkable circumstances that we find ourselves in tonight with our church and our nation. Times that try men's souls, Thomas Paine wrote in December of 1776, are times for winter soldiers, not what he called sunshine patriots who shrink from the service of their country. And sure enough, during those times, men like Patrick Henry rose up with their zeal. Well, the opposite of shrinking from something is rising up. And he said, we don't want people to shrink from the service of their country. We want winter soldiers, not sunshine patriots. And it's really the difference between getting either more zealous for that which is good or that which is bad, or of course also growing lukewarm during these times. And you know, what's amazing about that in Scripture is that two kinds of people tend to follow this pattern. For example, in Psalm 69, if you'll look at it, you'll see a prophecy about our Lord Jesus. It says in verse 9, for the zeal, you recognize that, right? For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. In other words, in remarkable times, when the fullness of time had come and Jesus came to a place which had drifted far from God, his zeal began to grow. In Psalm 119, 139 says, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies hath forgotten thy words. You know what that is? That's good zeal. Good zeal. Well, what about the opposite? It's there in the Bible, because in those same fullness of times, it says, for example, in Matthew 23:15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Romans 10:2 says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. There is zeal for good that we read a moment ago in the Lord Jesus, and there's zeal for wrong or for evil. So that again, it's possible to be zealous for good things, and it's possible to be zealous for bad things. And the reason is that we are created in the image of God. You understand that, right? The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. And you know, the word for zeal in the New Testament is the word for fervent. It's the word for fire. And so whether it's God's love or God's wrath, whether it's God's great mercy or God's judgment, the God of creation is not passive. He's not apathetic or indifferent or latent or a dormant deity. And so it's humans created with passions and emotions and personalities. Our zeal, our passions will typically be manifest in either that which is good or that which is bad. And of course, a perfect New Testament text for that is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 4. Let me just read it to you, may I? He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I think about that text a lot as a pastor. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you. All right, verse 18 says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. In other words, And this is pretty clear. The words zealously affected are directed at those who do not do well, but also those who do do well in remarkable times. Let me just read it to you again. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. That's one side. But they zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you. Sometimes, therefore, it's good zeal, and sometimes it's bad zeal. Now, that brings us to three things that I just want us to consider for a few moments tonight together, okay? And the first thing is that, number one, it's bad to do bad with zeal. Now, that's obvious. But he says that they zealously affect you, but not well. In other words, look, there are people who are fervent. In fact, they're so fervent, they spend their zeal trying, this is what Paul says, trying to affect others. We call them activists today. The problem is, they're not good people. And I'm just going to say that. They're not good people. The they in that book of Galatians refers to the false teachers that were condemned in the entire epistle in chapter 1. In fact, Paul introduced them as those who preach, quote, another gospel, and I would that they would be accursed. They preached the gospel of law and works, not of grace. These were Jews who were clinging to Moses, not the grace of Christ. And you know, of course, these enemies of the cross are not the only ones who remind us that it's bad to do bad with zeal. Evildoers who are zealots have always walked to and fro throughout the earth. Their envy, their deceit, their anger, their pride, their hatred inflame them to do works of darkness against the children of light. And that's precisely why, by the way, the most hateful and intolerant and bigoted and narrow-minded people on earth are the very ones who project those pejoratives on believers. It's also a reminder, can I just add this for all of us here tonight, that compromising with unbelievers so full of zeal never works. These who are zealously affected will never be satisfied with the notion of live and let live. In fact, the truth is their motto is live and let's destroy. They believe in free speech, just not yours. They believe in tolerance, but they won't tolerate you. They believe in individual rights, but not individuals. They believe in freedom of a religion, except your religion. And you know something? If that sounds irrational to you, if it all sounds contradictory and blind, then don't forget that zeal in a heart that is dark burns indiscriminately. It's a wildfire that has no boundaries, no guidance, and no restraint. You know, if you put a high-speed train on solid rails that do not give, and it remains there, you can fire that train like a bullet with safety and speed, and you can rest assured. But remove the rails. Take away law and morality and truth and decency and light, and all you'll have is zeal that ends in destruction and chaos and heartache and loss. And right now, folks, this crazy train is called the United States of America. Politically, judicially, and religiously, they zealously affect others, but not well. When Paul says, they affect you with zeal, you know what he's saying there? He's saying bad people actually get excited when they get others excited to do bad things. Now, that may sound remarkable and unbelievable, but it's the fact. There are university professors who live their whole lives, they live just to destroy a young person's faith. For some people, if they can take away hope and joy and faith out of somebody's heart and replace it with the darkness and despair that's down in their own hearts, that's a great victory for them. They live with zeal for that. Their mouth, Romans 3 says, is an open sepulcher. Destruction and misery are in their ways. If they are immoral, they want your children to be immoral. If they are hateful, they want you to be hateful. If they are in bondage, then you must be in bondage. It's envy, but you see, it's envy on fire. And it's pride, but it's pride on fire, full of zeal. And it's misery, but it's misery on fire. It's ingratitude, but it's ingratitude that is so zealous, they hate Thanksgiving holiday in this country. I'll say it again. It's bad, obviously, it's bad to do bad with zeal. And 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, acknowledged that this dynamic in the world is absolutely nothing new. Satan may change the labels, but it's the same old flame of unbelief and rebellion and folly. Jesus said that, we read it a moment ago, he said they compass sea and land to make one proselyte and make him twofold more the child of hell. And that brings us to the second thing, okay? Because believe it or not, nothing about this first point is disheartening or necessarily disillusioning to the child of God. After all, in the Bible, we are told that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. This is not a surprise to anybody who knows the Lord or knows His Word, so that none of this is either new nor surprising. We said, number one, it's bad to do bad with zeal, the worst sort of bad. But the second thing you'll notice is, number two, it's good to do good with zeal. But it is good, I'm reading again from Galatians, to be zealously affected always. That word always is there for a reason. Always in a good thing. In other words, as bad as it is to be on fire for bad, nevertheless, you really cannot be too on fire for good. Now, I want you to hear that carefully again. It is always good to be on fire with God. Now, I can tell you without question that even in churches, not many people truly embrace that. In fact, most people who even claim to be good only want the good to be presented in measured little sparks, a tiny candle, maybe under a bushel, and quietly. Don't be zealous. You know, it's fine if you have Christ's love and spiritual joy. Just don't be so obvious about it. It's fine if you have a song in your heart, just so long it stays down in your heart. I mean, you're not going to actually sing His praises wherever you go. Are you, like the Bible says, and out loud? Surely not. You have peace and you have joy in the Holy Spirit and confidence in the Scriptures. Okay. Just don't tell anybody. Don't be so zealous about that which is good and godly. Take it easy with this righteousness stuff. And that way, you'll be respectable. Of course, these are typically the very same people who get completely worked up, who get all excited over things that don't matter so much. Their child's ball team, maybe. There's no distance too far to drive, no uniform too expensive to buy. There's no chant too insipid to yell out in front of everybody. No shoes or cleats too bright to wear. No practice too insignificant to miss. It's all out, zealously affected over something that may not matter 2 seconds once we're in eternity. Dad, can I miss practice so I can go to Sunday school? Are you crazy? What are you, a fanatic? We've worked so hard. Don't be a fanatic about this religious stuff. We have to go to that practice. Verse 18, no, it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. You know, Paul is talking, beloved, about that which is biblical and holy and spiritual and eternal. You can never be too zealous for the things of God. Now, politics, you know, I love politics. Too much. Academics, sports, health, pop culture, food. It is okay to be passionate on occasion for almost all of those things, but you can't use the Bible word here always, not with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Look, I see the sports page, And I see that the Dolphins are going to sign a franchise player. Man, I get excited. I don't know why. It's a waste of my time. But you know what? I'm interested. I'm vested. I like it. I read that the Ryder Cup this fall is ahead and we're going to beat the Europeans. Yeah, I get excited about that. I want them to win. And yeah, there's a little fire there for me. There really is. I'm always interested, but I'm going to tell you what I am not. I am not zealously affected. It's not enough, in other words, to keep me up at night or away from God's house or sacrifice time and money I don't really have. Some of you listening will know who the Marlin Man is, right? You know, every time I see the Marlin Man, he's the super fan with the orange jersey, the Marlins jersey, and the visor. He's always in view of the network cameras. He knows right where to buy a seat, whether it's the World Series or the Kentucky Derby or the Final Four or the NBA Finals or the Super Bowl and all the things that have been canceled. He's always there in view. And every time I see him, I think to myself, man, that guy is committed. Do you know how much those exclusive seats cost at those major events? Do you know how far in advance he has to plan and buy those things? Do you know how much travel is involved? His name is Lawrence Levy. He's an attorney, big Seminoles fan. But man, he's committed. He is zealous. He's on fire. And most of all, because of that jersey he wears everywhere, he is not ashamed. Well, look, why should we be ashamed to have zeal for our Lord Jesus? You know, everybody is zealously affected over something. Shopping or sports or politics or money or hobbies or movies. Everybody gets a little more excited about some things. But the one thing that you can never get too excited about is this book and God's will for your life and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your walk with Him. Number one, it's bad to do bad with zeal. Number two, it's good to do good with zeal. And then number three, it's bad. Hear this carefully. It's bad to do good without zeal. It's bad to do good, but without zeal. It is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. In other words, Paul says, you should be on fire for that which is good. You should be zealously affected for that which is right, whether, he said, the rest of the verse says this, and not only when I'm present with you. What do you mean? Whether I'm there or not. Whether I'm in the room with you or 1,000 miles away. You know why that is? Because being lukewarm as a Christian, that's not real. In fact, it's sin. Jesus said, half-heartedness, apathy, indifference, dispassion. Folks, that is fine if you're talking about the Miami Dolphins. That's fine if you're talking about money or Disney or Marvel or Facebook or clothes or politics. President Trump didn't die for your sins. And Mickey Mouse isn't real. And Tom Brady does not rule all of creation. So that, hey, who cares if people with a car are sporting a Biden sticker, for example, or a Disney or a Dolphin sticker? Do you think that someone has a sticker? They're the ones that think that someone has a Jesus sticker is somehow a fanatic, right? I'm with Joe. And they get excited about it. And you're going to see some zeal this political season. I'm with Jesus. And better yet, he's with me. And that is a real reason to be passionate. It's bad to do good without zeal. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent. There's that word again, fire. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Heartily as to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And yes, beloved, everything has to do that has to do with good. Everything that has to do with God is associated with zeal, is associated with fire. Whether it's love, joy, faith, service, conviction, truth, or church, all of that can always and must always be done with zeal. We can always be passionate about it. And none of that is worthy of a lukewarm heart. And so, I say tonight and remind us all, it's time in these times we're living for some believers to stop splashing around in the shallow end of the pool and swim out into the deep. It is time for others to cast off the shame that you feel from this world who wants you to put your faith in a basement. It is time for all of us to rejoice and sing and testify and give and pray, because it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Put another way, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's worthy, not just of our half heart. He's worthy of our zeal. He's worthy of our enthusiasm. He's worthy of our commitment. He's worthy for all of us who've been redeemed by the blood to be excited about it, about His glory, about His word, and His will. We said earlier that remarkable times tend to define who people are. And these are remarkable times. We still don't know how this is all going to pan out, because our country has dug a deep, deep hole. These are remarkable times. And for some people, that means that they are going to get passionate and zealous for all the wrong things. They're on a crusade, and they will zealously affect you, but not in a good way. For some others, and for you and I, may God keep us. May God help us to be as our own Lord Jesus, who said, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up," who had in those times a zeal for God, zealously affected always in a good thing. In other words, let's just be on fire for God. And may the times in which we're living, when people are getting on fire for all the wrong things, may it just remind us that it's always good to be on fire for the good things of God. God bless you. We love you. Looking forward to the time when we can all be together again and on fire for Him. Have a wonderful night.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.